Okay, that's fine.
Perfect.
Now, we're in our spiffy new studio, which, by the way, is on Science Park Road, the Citizens Bank building, if you know where that is. And I actually, again, I stepped this off. 25 steps away from our new studio is the local or regional office for local state Senator Wayne Langerholt. And we thought, hey, we should have the senator on when he's, you know, in his office, you know. And we were told, hey, okay, he's going to be in his office September 3rd. Okay, great. Let's schedule this. So here he is in the studio. We welcome to the program State Senator Wayne Langerholt. Senator, good morning. Wow. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, good morning, and thank you for having me.
And he's on the phone.
Well, things change.
And he's on the phone. Now, Senator, we were told something, I guess you were supposed to come here today, and something, I guess, came up. What happened there?
Yes, that is correct. I am traveling throughout the district here, so some schedule changes, but thank you for being accommodating and allowing me to call in.
Well, our phone normally works, so that's perfectly fine. All right, and again, we're talking with folks who are running for re-election, which you are, State Senate. Now, again, Senator, we've had you on the show before, and let me repeat a question, because there are probably a lot of people in Center County that they, in the old days, it was, you know, like Jake Corman, and he was from Bellefonte, he covered all of Center County, all that stuff. And then a few years back, things got changed around where Center County is now represented by two different state senators. Talk briefly, describe for folks listening to us, where do you represent? In other words, what parts of Center County do you cover?
Sure. So just by way of background, I was first elected to the Senate in 2016, and at that time I had all of Bedford County, all of Cambria County, all of Clearfield County, except for Dubois. With the redistricting that occurred here in 2020, I lost Bedford County, got the rest of Clearfield, and now I have all of Western Center County. I have everything west of State College Borough. I do not represent State College Borough, but everything west. So Patton Township, Ferguson Township, Worth, Half Moon, Port Matilda, all that area.
And if I'm correct, Mr. Ironhead, you don't live far from here. This is Ferguson Township, correct? Is where we're sitting right now.
Correct.
So your regional office, again, is in this building in Ferguson Township, so that would be part of your zone. And, Senator, let me ask this question, because I think I have this correct. You don't have an opponent in November. You're right now, at least, yours is the only name on the ballot. Do I have that correct?
That is correct.
What do you think about that? I mean, I'm still a little stunned that, okay, you're Republican. Democrats apparently couldn't find somebody to run against you, which means either you're Superman or something odd is going on. What do you think about they couldn't find somebody to run against you?
Well, I'm very fortunate, and I think hopefully that speaks to my willingness to work across the aisle and get legislation done and be able to work with all parties and represent all people. So I take it as that, and I'm fortunate to be in that position.
All right. So for folks in Senator Langerholt's zone, when you go to vote, which either is in November or, again, mail-in ballot now, you can do it like in a few weeks or something like that, his is going to be the only name on the ballot. So, all right. So let's talk about, you know, issues in Harrisburg. And let me just start kind of with an open-ended question, because you are still campaigning. There is still an election here in 2 months. What are the important issues for you right now as far as Pennsylvania or your district? What's at the top of your list?
Well, there's a lot of different issues. Number one, the key factor here is that, you know, I'm sent to Harrisburg to represent all people, not just in the 35th district, but also the Commonwealth as a whole. And being the majority chair of the Transportation Committee enables me to craft some policy and ensure that, you know, we get our appropriate seat at the table here. And it's mainly an issue of ensuring that your tax dollars are spent, you know, in a fiscal conservative way, and that you're represented in Harrisburg. And, you know, there's a lot of different components to, you know, when you say you're a state senator, you know, what do you do? Well, I mean, you're a lawmaker, first and foremost. Obviously, you influence, make laws, but also you represent your area. You ensure that your municipalities can, you know, you're a conduit for them to have a voice in Harrisburg, as well as your constituents, you know, that you represent in that district. So, you know, that's kind of the main point, is to pass a responsible budget and ensure that, you know, the appropriate things are being spent on that need to be spent on.
All right. Now, sort of a follow-up question on that, Senator, is you folks, or Harrisburg, has a, I believe it's $13 billion surplus that has built up over a number of years. And I've seen at least one story that claims that surplus is going to be half gone here in the next year or two because of, I'm not sure what, Senator, various new programs or spending on this, that, and the other thing. First off, is that accurate, that you know, that big surplus is going to be half gone here in a year or two and may be totally gone in a short period of time? Is that accurate or not?
It depends on what track we take here going forward. And as far as an actual $13 billion surplus, there's some differing thoughts of opinion on that, whether or not it's an actual, that's the actual number that it is at. You know, there's some different estimates with our IFO that come back on, you know, maybe not quite as much, depending on what you're taking into account. But the important thing is that there is a balance within the rainy day fund. I can think back to when I was first elected in 2016, my first budget going into 2017, there was a $1.7 billion shortfall just to close the gap on spending and no money in reserve. And we were able through, you know, through the years to be able to have be in a position where we actually have that. Now, there is some, you know, some of that money will be spent here this year, with this budget that we passed, but the key is to watch the spending and not get too far afield, or it could end up in that position.
All right, now you kind of read my mind a little bit. Yeah, a number of years ago there was a shortfall. Now we've got a surplus, and I guess I and other people are starting to wonder, okay, are we going to fall back into a shortfall again? Are there some safeguards somehow in state government to make sure that doesn't happen again? Or is it just the people who are in charge, if it's the governor, the state house, and so on, they can just spend like crazy and we end up back in the hole again? Are there safeguards to stop against that stuff?
Yes, and quite candidly, our safeguards are the Pennsylvania Republican Senate caucus. I mean, honestly, we have held the line and put against. If we would have allowed previous governors to spend the way they wanted to spend, we would be in an unfathomable hole at this point. So it's a constant struggle in the budget, but that would, in the short term, my answer is the safeguard, yes, is the Republican majority in the Pennsylvania State Senate.
All right, now Governor Shapiro's been at it for 2 years now. All right, you mentioned past governors. Would he be one of those governors, in your opinion? You think he just wants to spend like crazy and we end up in a hole again? I mean, what's your opinion of the governor?
Well, his proposal this budget cycle was to spend significantly more, and we were able to reach a compromise where our final number was $740 million less than what his budget proposal was back in February. So, yes, I mean, they want to spend, yes, this governor wanted to spend all of the rainy day fund and then some. And we held the line on it and reached a compromise.
Now, for folks who don't know, Republicans have a significant majority still in the state Senate. I think it's like 2-1 or something like that. State House is like 1 or 2 votes difference between Republican and Democrat, and right now Democrat have that ever so slight edge. So, I mean, are you saying that the governor and Democrats in the House, they just want to spend like wild, and Republicans in the Senate want to put the brakes on, or is that a little too simplistic?
I caution speaking in, you know, very simple terms like that. I can tell you our majority is, we have 28 Republicans, 22 Democrats in the Pennsylvania Senate. You know, as you had indicated, the House is much closer. But I can tell you that with the House being Democrat-controlled, there were different conversations this budget cycle with that spend number. I mean, yes, they want to spend and would deplete that rainy day fund, you know, if they could.
All right, I stand corrected. I said 2-1. That's wrong. 28-22 is not 2-1s, but still a good solid Republican majority there. Now, one thing that came up was education funding, and I'm thinking I've got two questions on that. Let's start through K-12, kindergarten to 12. There was that court case about proper funding for public school districts, and this year, Senator, you folks down there had to start tackling this. And I think from some stories I read, nobody was happy with what was finally put together. Democrats wanted more, Republicans wanted less. Somehow you met in the middle, and nobody's happy. Would that be accurate? Talk about the current state of K-12 education funding in Harrisburg.
Well, there was an historic investment. I think it was about an additional $1 billion for education. So that's definitely nothing to shy away from. I can tell you, too, I caution that the way that court case has been, I don't want to say marketed or spun, the court case said that the funding formula was not adequate. It did not say that we have to spend. It was just a question of the way that it is allocated. So I always caution people when they, you know, start throwing around the court case. Court case said you didn't spend enough money. Court case said you don't spend enough money on education. Not the case. So of that $1 billion, our budget's, what, $47 billion this year. And of that, it's about 44% goes to education. So I mean, it's a significant amount of money that we fund that goes to schools. So I don't want the wrong impression to be had here, but it was an increase in education, and yes, neither side was happy. So that is, you know, going back to my, you know, I'm an attorney by trade. That's the definition of a true compromise. Neither side's happy.
How do we go about assessing? Because I it feels like it's always the scorecard of if you didn't spend this amount of money, or if it didn't go up by this percentage, then you just don't care about the issue. My question is, how do we actually quantify or at least qualify whether or not those dollars are being used effectively? Because we keep getting these statistics nationally, I'm talking about now, that, man, America's falling further and further behind. And the answer always seems to be, well, you got to throw more money at education. That's the only way. Well, we keep throwing money at it, and we keep seeing those numbers fall in terms of international comparisons. Are we doing anything at the state level, from government oversight, to see if we're getting a return on that investment?
Our oversight is, you know, that we have the purse strings with the budget, with the allocation of the money. But I agree with you completely that is not the answer. Just, our test scores are down, throw more money. We need to constantly evolve with the situation and understand the need that is out there that marries proper workforce development with education, and, you know, never become complacent and understand this is an evolving process, and the school buildings and the schools of the 70s, 80s, 90s are not the same as the schools of today's day and age. And I think you're maybe starting to see that, but also, you know, there's a major issue, in my opinion, with some, you know, funding and with cyber charter that is getting a field and that is not, appropriately addressing certain situations. So, I mean, there's a whole host of areas, but, you know, to go back to answer your question, we have the oversight because we have the purse strings, but there are a myriad of accountability assessments, testings, and reports that we're constantly seeing that are telling us those same things that you had indicated there. And it's a question of, evolving and changing the way that we look at education, in my opinion.
Our guest again is State
Senator...
And again,
that's coming from somebody that's not on the... I used to be the chair of the Education Committee. I'm actually not even on the Education Committee now, but that's just in my time as what I was on the Education.
Our guest again is State Senator Wayne Langerhulk, who is running for re-election for his Senate seat, serving down in Harrisburg. We're going to take a break right here. Senator, when we come back, I want to talk about Penn State funding, obviously, education, money, there we go again, and some other things. Friends, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Yes.
I think Penn State said this year they don't want it too much.
Bull.
They're getting too much from it. Oh, no, they wanted more.
You were hitting the tailgate too hard, I think. Sorry. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more of the show after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Here's the K2 Roots Vitality Foxcast. A nice day today that won the cool side for this time of the year. With ample amounts of sunshine, the high 70.
Fox Forecast.
Mainly clear and quite cool tonight. Low 40 in outlying areas, 48 in town. Wednesday still on the cool side. Partly to mostly sunny, the high 72. This is WeatherBell.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi.
Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
The Penn State men's soccer team shut out St. Bonaventure last night at Jeffrey Field 4-0. Ben Liskin scored the game winner just 12 minutes into the contest. The Nittany Lions are now 2-2 on the season. The State College Spikes lost 14-3 at Williamsport yesterday and are officially knocked out of title contention for the second half of the MLB Draft League. Former Penn State catcher Josh Spiegel recorded an RBI for the Spikes for the fifth time in six games. The Spikes will play their final home game of the season tonight against the Crosscutters with first pitch at 6:35. The Pirates beat the Cubs 5-3 yesterday at PNC Park. Ryan Reynolds and Andrew McCutchen each homered in a 4-run 8 for Pittsburgh. That series resumes tonight at 7:40. And the Phillies had Labor Day off and will open a brief two-game series in Toronto tonight at 7:07.
We don't just talk sports.
The Fox.
We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Man, Susan's birthday's coming up, and I'm at a loss where I'm going to get the food, the soda, and especially the beer.
Hey, head straight for the bunker.
As much as I would like to hide, I have to get this stuff done.
No, man, the beer bunker at Leggins Market in Port Matilda or in Beach Creek.
A beer bunker? Huh? Are they going to have everything we need?
It's a beer bunker, of course. Domestics, imports, craft brews, plus all the sodas and mixers that you will need.
Okay, got that covered. What about the food?
I know you can get subs, and I know they have chip specials, too. And the kids have some great suggestions, too.
You can order chicken nuggets, chicken tenders, french fries, curly fries, plus you can grab some ice cream.
Not to mention the fact that you can download the Likens app and have it ready when you get there. Oh, and they even have DoorDash delivery for both their Bellefonte and Beach Creek stores.
Nice. One stop and we got everything taken care of. Now, if I can only keep the party a secret from the woman who knows all.
Likens Market, Zion and Bellefonte, North Main Street in Port Matilda, and Main Street in Beach Creek.
And now, the Beer Bunker in Port Matilda and Beach Creek.
Fox Sports!
Hey there, Central Pennsylvania. Are you ready to dive into summer fun? Then look no further than Clearwater Swimming Pool Company, your go-to experts for all things pool and spa. With three convenient locations in Center Hall, Sealands Grove, and Shamokin, summer fun is within reach. At Clearwater, we've got everything you need to make a splash. Stock up on Pool Life and Bakwasil chemicals, essential pool maintenance equipment, and the hottest pool toys and accessories around. Plus, indulge in pure relaxation with Hot Spring brand hot tubs right in your own backyard. Thinking about a new pool? We're currently scheduling installations for in-ground salt pools, and there's still time to enjoy the summer with a brand new above-ground pool. Come visit Clearwater Swimming Pool Company today and let our friendly and knowledgeable staff help you create the perfect summer oasis. Dive in and discover why Clearwater is Central Pennsylvania's choice for all things pool and spa. If it's time to swim, it's time for Clearwater Pools and Spas. Visit us online at groupclearwater.com or stop by one of our three locations today. Well, here we go, heading into fall, and that means football season. Penn State, local high schools, and the NFL. Now, come on, where do you think people are going to be listening this fall for talk on all that great action? It'll be right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And if you're a business, this is the golden opportunity to reach more ears than a bumper cornfield. Contact us today for more information at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox State College.
Get up.
It is Let's Talk here on a Tuesday. Jeff and Scott with you. Senator Wayne Langerholt joining us over the phone line here this morning. Scott wanted to follow up with some Penn State talk. I just have a, before we get to that, genuinely curious, think I know the answer, but I'd be pleasantly surprised if I'm wrong. Have you ever, since your time in government, Senator Langerholt, had an organization, any group, come to you after state appropriations and say, listen, whoa, that was very generous, but listen, next year we don't need quite that much, Senator. You overdid it a little bit for us this year. We could ease off. Let's cut back or at least keep it exactly the same. Has any organization ever expressed to you that, yeah, you know what, you overdid it with our appropriations this year?
No, and actually you steal the thunder. I say that sometimes when I'm speaking to different groups about the budget, I say that, you know, very never has that happened where they said, hey, we want to give you back some money that you gave us. We got a sack of cash in the back here, so thank you, but too much.
I figured as much. Yet. I was just curious. Maybe somebody somewhere, it's like, whoa, this is a little more than we actually
need. That's a
need. Definition
of a rhetorical question. All right. Give me a break. All right. Now, Senator, obviously, we've got Penn State in our backyard. Higher education funding, and Penn State, in their case, has a shortfall. They're budget cutting now. And, of course, they always want more money from Harrisburg. How does that stand? I mean, what is your opinion on that? As I recall, there was an idea that they could have gotten more money if they then would have agreed to certain things. I mean, fill us in on that, if you would, please.
Sure, that's an ongoing battle from different, you know, there's so many different things at play with respect to those university fundings and higher ed funding. I can tell you that, you know, having, you know, Penn State, the university not directly being within my district, but being, you know, right there, you know, it's, you know, like a mile from my office, I think, in Ferguson Township, and also having a branch campus of Pitt in my Cambria County, UPJ, and having, you know, different, you know, a Penn State Dubois as well. That money that we give to them is a direct benefit for our Commonwealth residents, our Commonwealth students, which enables them to provide the in-state tuition discount for those students. So it is, in my opinion, you know, critically important to ensure that they are funded to be able to offer that. And, you know, it's always going to be a battle every year that, you know, it's not enough or they need more. So they'll continue to do their job in advocating for it. We'll continue to, you know, do our job in holding the line and ensuring that, you know, whatever increases we agree to are, you know, done appropriately.
Now, the state system schools, so that would be Bloomsburg, Lock Haven, they can hear us in Lock Haven, like over the air, Mansfield, California, and so on. I mean, they're making some moves and changes and consolidations and so on. This is the state system. What about that system? Because I don't want to say they're being ignored, but it seems like they're falling further behind. Or do I have that wrong? I mean, your view on the state system schools and what should happen there.
Right. No, you're not too far afield in that. I know several years ago, the chancellor that came in to kind of take a look at how do we address this, the large number of schools and, you know, the kind of the consolidation of some of them in the West, some of them in the East, you know, and under a bigger umbrella. But, I mean, you have that right. But the bottom line is you cannot get away. We've got major decline in enrollment. And when you just don't have the students to be able to come into those schools, you have an issue. I mean, you have, you know, numerous facilities. You have numerous staff oversight that all adds up, but I know that the process has begun, and there have been some steps that have been taken that are beneficial to that, you know, just consolidating that, the operations of some of them, you know, Penn West and those different universities. But again, I mean, we're facing that major issue of declining enrollment. And I mean, you can couple that. I can talk about workforce development and a major increase in demand for those in the trades. So again, it's part of that conversation that I say you always need to be evolving. You never want to become complacent, and you need to ensure that the workforce needs are met. You know, 10, 15 years ago, even whenever, you know, I was young, you know, that stigma of you're going to go to college. And while we have, you know, people coming out of college now that, you know, may not be able to find work in their field versus a major need for the trades and good family sustaining wages, you know, in that area. So we're starting to see a reversal on that. So as these, you know, higher, you know, state systems, if they can adapt to kind of meet those workforce needs, you know, we need to ensure that that's happening.
All right, we got about 2 minutes left. Now, you're from Cambria County, and former President Trump was in Johnstown recently, a few days ago. I'm just simply curious, Senator, your opinion of your party's presidential candidate. What do you think about Mr. Trump?
I think that our country is at a crossroads, that we have gotten so far from the ideals that founded this country. There are so many immediate needs and immediate issues that we face, safety being one of them, crippling inflation being another. And I just think that the last 4 years of the Biden administration have been just a catastrophic failure. We are in such a different position than we were, and we need to, you know, get out of that. I mean, I don't think anybody can doubt that you're paying way more than you were 4 years ago, that our country is not safe. You see the open border that has created chaos. You see just a general, I want to say like appreciation or like a celebration of being anti-law enforcement, which quite frankly I think is pathetic and sickening. Now, I spent the better part of my career in law enforcement in the district attorney's office in Cambria County, and to see now the fact that people are not, you know, willing to fund the police or fund police departments is very scary and concerning. And I think that we are in a very monumental time here, and I think that we need to get out of it.
Well, Senator, we appreciate your time this morning. Obviously, we'd love to have you on again sometime, maybe when you're actually in the office. When you actually,
well, maybe it'll work.
You know, have you walked 25 steps, actually stepped it off. So, but we appreciate your time this morning, Senator, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Have a great day.